Acts chapter 9. I want you to write the word, two words down, God-fearers. God-fearers. And I want to make five things you have to understand. There's five triggers, five keys about the fear of the Lord. Five, you're too loud, son, talk to somebody. Five important things about the fear of the Lord. If you don't know these things, Satan's going to whip you. The Holy Spirit, point these things out to me and make a note. The fear of the Lord is a choice and a gift. A choice and a gift. Just like grace is a gift, faith is a gift, mercy is a gift, the fear of the Lord, and I sound odd, you know, the fear of the Lord is a gift. Because there will not be honor, there will not be respect if there is not a genuine, supernatural, divine fear of God. The fear of God will cause you to avoid evil. God is an awesome God, but he can turn into be an awful God in dealing his character. Capture him to judge sin. He has to judge sin. And I think if we know that as the body of Christ, that God will always, if you don't do something about it, he will have to judge sin or his character. That's his character. His character, he has to judge sin. So the fear of the Lord is a knowledge. The fear of the Lord is a knowledge. The fear of the Lord is an understanding. The fear of the Lord, remember the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord instruct you. God is not someone to play with. It's a reality. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere at the same time. So what we got to do is get that reverential fear moving, that it will help us not move in the direction of our soul, of our body, trying to pull us from get this divine alignment. It will take the fear of the Lord. I haven't said the five things yet. It will take the fear of the Lord to place you in divine alignment. Divine alignment consists of righteousness. It consists of holiness, which is a conduct. It consists of sanctification, which is a process. We are all processing right now. No one has fully arrived. While I'm talking, if you don't get your soul lined up right, and basically that's dealing with your mind in Romans 12:2, there's the acceptable good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You want to be there. You want to be there. The good, acceptable, and perfect will. I'm just saying a lot of things that the fear of the Lord have caused us, not knowing it, to not walk in divine traffic at its peak. When you walk in divine traffic at its peak, you win every time. And you already know you're going to win even before the first swing is taken. And that's a good place to be, isn't it? The reason the church have not been winning, the reason the church have dabbed into sin just like a natural person is because they have not understood the power of the fear of the Lord. We talk about faith, we talk about confession, we talk about prayer, but then the power of the fear of the Lord, we need to understand it. So now this text here is after Saul turned into Paul, and God had done some things with him because he was a problem to the church, a major problem. You like Paul was a major blessing, Saul was a major problem. Everybody was scared of Saul. But God took his talent and changed it. All right, now, so these five things in Act 9:31, these five things. You got rest. There's a rest. That's a supernatural rest that belongs to the people of God. But they have to know God. Then they talk about edification, that you should, as a Christian, be constantly being built up in the area of your walk with God. You should not be next month where you are this month. It's growth, development, growth. You should be building. So edification is so important for to be built up. The third thing is now, is what we're going to talk about tonight. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Walking in reverential honor, respectfulness of God. I can't do this because I'm a child of God. And you're aware of it, okay? Then the fourth thing is, after you walk in the fear of the Lord, it's amazing the way these things are outlined, because then you can walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Without fear, you cannot walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Okay? All right? Now you say, I wonder what this fifth thing is. Multiplication. You not only the church at large, these five things, or these five triggers, or these five blessings supposed to be in your life personally. You supposed to be multiplying. And I'm not just talking about making babies. I try to talk to Darnell and Deidre, you know, they're making babies. Deidre pregnant again. But in multiplying, now let's look at this. Let's look at this verse in Acts 9:31. Let's look at this verse in Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. But you see now, oh yeah, I see, Lord. This, let me see what this Bible here is. I don't want, it's a New King James Version. Get me a regular King James Version. That word is rest. The word is rest. So we see now, but in the New King James Version, say peace. That's good too, isn't it? All right, but I know most of y'all use a regular King James Version, so I won't get back. I picked up the wrong Bible. Had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the other Bible said the comfort of the Holy Ghost, same portion, they were multiplied. Let me read a statement to you that I gave you earlier, and I'm going to start putting a lot of points out to you. Now, you know in 2 Timothy 1:7, look there. Look in 2 Timothy 1:7, because you understand the difference, because a lot of teaching have been taught on God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, love, and a sound mind, which is right. But you got to understand that you're dealing with two different types of fear. All right? Yeah, you're dealing with satanic fear, and you're dealing with holy fear. Got it? Satanic fear, you shouldn't have no satanic fear. What you brought me, Tim? All right. You shouldn't have no satanic fear, because the power of love and a sound mind keep you there, right? All right, now you're going to need to write now, because I'm going to start putting out a lot of stuff in a few moments. I'm just trying to get you on board, because there's a lot of things that God wants us to. I won't read this like I want to read it, though. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judah and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. All right, now, this statement I want to make to you. I say to you, and I have it footnoted here, I want to talk about a missing ingredient in the body of Christ. And we know we're talking about the fear of the Lord, right? But I think it's a missing ingredient, because in order for the fear of the Lord to take grips, you have to have revelation. You have to have manifestation. You have to have demonstration. You have to have creation. All those things magnifies God and make you take another look. As you look at creation, as you, on a bright night, you look at the stars, especially flying 40,000 feet in the air in an aircraft, you look out the window, and you see, it's amazing, man, God, how God holds all things together. And if you don't come, but in the Bible, in teaching and in the church, The church should teach you where you can see how great and how mighty God is. And you have to see some miracle. You have to see some signs. You have to see some wonders. You know, you're not going to ever see God just reading the Bible. When you really see God is when he come out of the Bible and take care of a situation that couldn't be handled by nobody else. Amen?
Amen.
And then you recognize just as awesome as he is, he can be awful. You know, I don't want to use that term, but I just want you to understand that he will judge, he will deal sin. So talking about a missing ingredient in the body of Christ that has caused the church all kind of problems. See, by not knowing the fear of the Lord, it has caused us problem. We look like we're natural. We look like we live just like anybody. I mean, the church have lived like drunkards, gamblers, or whatever. We just do anything. We gamble, drink. The church at Lord, gamble, drink. We do everything in the church. Why? They don't know what the fear of the Lord is. And they see, it's a choice and a gift. And once you expose to here's the word. You cannot be exposed to the fear of the Lord unless you have a revelation of the goodness of God. God is so good. I can't hear y'all. See, the goodness of God reveals God to us. So the body of Christ have had all this problem. Have all kind of churches have all kind of problem and shame. Watch this now. Wisdom does not come without the fear of the Lord. Why? If you do not have the fear of the Lord to respect him, to honor him, why would he give you wisdom? What you going to use wisdom for? To mess up? See, because you don't have that reverential understanding, all right? All right, now, let me show you something about wisdom. The Apostle Paul showed us in two places. And I was amazed when the Lord showed me this. Let's see, the first place. Let me tell you, I'm going to show you him, then I'm going to show you in dealing with fear. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. I know I told you to turn somewhere, but just turn where I tell you to turn. Because I'm getting on the trail here, and I need to get on this trail. Write down in your note, understanding the precious gift of the fear of the Lord. Never would have thought you would hear that fear is a gift. Uh-huh. But I wrote, understand the precious gift of the fear of the Lord, because everything going to come on the increase. Your prayer life, your confession, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, your instruction, your enlightenment, your empowerment, all going to take a change as we study the fear of the Lord. Understand it properly. Understand it from the negative fear. A satanic fear of being afraid of something, or being afraid of a man, or being afraid of a situation. We're not talking about it. We're talking about the reverential respect and honor for the Lord, trust in the Lord, confidence in the Lord, and knowing that the fear of the Lord will cause me to, watch what I said again, I'm saying it again, avoid evil. I'll show it to you in Job 28:28. Write it down because I might not get to it. But it'll cause you to avoid evil. These 47 years, I walked in holiness and sanctification and in my righteousness because there's a fear of the Lord. I've seen him. I've talked to him. He's talked to me, audible voice, over 7 or 8 times. I'm not messing with him. His voice is not like I'm talking to one of you all. His voice is, I own this thing. Boy, listen, you ever hear the voice of the Lord, you have some fear. You walk around, because Israel wanted to say they didn't want to hear Moses, and the Lord started talking to him, Moses, come here. Talk to us, Moses. Lord, it's all right. Don't let the Lord talk. You see, and that's why God talk. That's why I know that these different office. Let me go. Can I get a little side journey here? These different office, these people trying to walk in that I'm correcting in LTMA, for the office of apostle, you have to be called. Did you hear God's voice call you to be an apostle? Why? How can I say that? I heard it. See, a confirmation can't be a call. Somebody saw you in a dream. They can't call you. Some people went out on the other point in the dream. Said the Lord, you look like a preacher. You better
get your crazy self back in the barn.
So 1 Corinthians 2. I'm just going to give you a glimpse of how Paul got so much revelation. All right. So the fear of the Lord has something to do with revelation. How much revelation you're going to get. How much illumination you're going to get. How much inspiration you're going to get. The fear of the Lord has something to do with it. Now watch what Paul said. He's talking about his preaching. And he said some powerful things. But I just want to look at one verse. 1 Corinthians 2:3. Because it's going to bring great significance in your life in a few moments. I'm going to show you something else about this verse. And I was with you in how? All right, see that? See that? Those weakness, fear, and much trembling. He's weighing on a scale of the supernatural. He's weighing on a scale of the spirit world. He's not mundanely or worldly concept or what he can think about or what how smart he is. He's now in the presence of doing a work for God. And so he tell God, people, listen, it's not Paul doing this. He said, he's telling God, people, say, look, I'm in weakness, fear, and trembling, because that reverential respect for God will cause you to tremble. Now, just see how, I want to back up. Just see how Christian can do anything. Y'all know some Christian do anything. I said, y'all can look here like that. All my friends, no. Y'all know some Christian can do anything. They sit right in church with you. Or cuss you out in a split second and pull a gun and put it inside your head. And say, brother, I'll kill you. Because it doesn't mean they're not saved. But they have not come in contact with the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord seemed like a negative statement, but it's so powerful. It can change the whole spectrum of your home. Change the church. Change everything. Once you understand how it works. So here's the great apostle Paul right in the midst of his preaching. And teaching, he acknowledged his weakness, he acknowledged his fear, and he acknowledged his trembling. You know what he's saying? Watch this. This is what the fear of the Lord do for you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I know. Watch this now, and we need to know this all the time. I'm standing on holy ground. As a Christian, you must know this at all times. That you're standing on holy ground. And by knowing that, there's a surrendering, there's a submission, there's a humility by knowing that. So Paul, in his preaching, the reason he preached so well, he recognized that he wasn't doing by no strength of his own. All right? Now, there's another scripture, and this should surely open your eyes to something. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. And I'm just, these things that they come up, I want to deal with them, because they come up in my prayer time and I write some notes down. But I want to deal with it. This is so powerful, because you're saved. Hello, say I'm saved. You're saved, but in your saving is a salvation. You know, salvation, not just going to heaven, it's prosperity, it's healing, and there's a whole lot of things. It's good news. But as we live here, as we sit here tonight, we're still working out our salvation. So the enemy can't take us over, because we're still on his turf. All right? Right in the middle of my message, I want to tell you something. I can't hold it. I want to tell you something. Listen, because it's going to bless you so much. Listen. There is always more in your account than you possess. Write that down, because that's so important. So the account is not the problem. Knowing how to possess what's in the account is your problem. Boy, that's a powerful statement. I couldn't hold it, man. I'm preaching in Chicago, but I just need to tell you that tonight. You got an account that is so loaded. And I'm not just talking about with money, with everything you want. You got an account loaded with healing. You go, oh, my God in heaven. That'll make you fear the Lord. Lord, why you been so good to me? You see, my goodness. All right, now, listen to me now. You're listening? Say, I'm listening. See, you got to see, hear, and understand when the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Now, in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my present honor, y'all need to do that too. I thought it's a good time to be a pastor here. You know, not just one pastor around. You need, because you love the Lord, you know what I'm saying? But now, much more in my absence. Now watch what he tell them. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, he told them to do just what he's doing is preaching, and I'm showing you that that's the fear of the Lord there. See, you're working out with the fear of the Lord. You cause yourself not to be judged or to fall into sin. You're working your salvation out, but you're working it out in the fear of the Lord. Reverential, respectful, honoring fear of the Lord. The more knowledge you get, the more fear you're going to have. Now remember, we're starting off with five things. We start off with rest. We start off with edification, right? Acts 9:31, a picture of the church, how the church is when she functioning as she should function. But I'm saying in your life as a believer, understand the precious gift of the fear of the Lord, you'll function the same way. All right, let me try to read this thing, give you this whole thing. I want to talk to you about a mighty ingredient in the body of Christ that has caused the church all kind of problem and shame. Wisdom does not come without the fear of the Lord. You got that? Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Here's one qualification of the fear of the Lord, or a manifestation of the fear of the Lord, is always seeing things from God's point of view. Always seeing things from God's point of view. Why? You don't want to cross him. You want him to run your life, all right? Now, very simple. Here's another statement, young man. Listen. God's point of view is what his word says and reveals. God's point of view is what his word says and reveals. And reveal, excuse me, reveal. Y'all got that? And I may have given you this, but I'm going to give it to you again. The Holy Spirit will take you to the master class of God's wisdom and teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, the church at large want everything to work out right all the time. But it's not, because you're dealing with different people that in the church, and some of them got to be taught lessons. And remember, we're looking at Acts chapter 5, the man and his wife lied and died. A lot of fear of the Lord came in the church then. You know, the disciples was able to work better after that. They was able to. Yes, sir. What were we going? All right. Let's read a few scriptures out. Psalm 33. Read a few scriptures before I go give you this. Psalm 33. Hallelujah. Always, I like to argue a case like a lawyer. You know, I do a lot of reading, and I see a lot of things that the church need to know. Let's see. Psalm 33, you there? Yes, sir. right. Let me read from the 8th verse of Psalm 33. Let all the earth what?
Fear.
All right. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. See that awe-ness. You know, he's an awesome God. And when you, let me read it again. The 8th verse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. And they tell you, you read first through the 7th verse, how some mighty and great things he does. But let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now, if you may have read that without this teaching, it will indicate be scared of the Lord. He, you know, because we have taught him as that big monster, if you sin, he's going to knock you out tonight. But he's a merciful and a gracious God. You follow what I'm saying? So it's a blessing fear. It's a blessed fear. All right? Watch it. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. He's awesome. Watch verse 9 says, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord, look at verse 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. See, you got to know this the way you know him, see. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. My goodness. I'll shout myself. My goodness. You ready? Notice verse 18. Let's read it together. We're in a Bible study. Let's read it together. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Woo! Come on now. Listen. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So there you have a combination now of fear and mercy. They run together. In other words, when you fear the Lord reverentially and see him as he is, more mercy become available to you. I don't know about you, I need mercy. Okay, let's read one more verse. Watch, I'll read the 18th verse again. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. And watch this, and to keep them alive. So, my fearing God has something to do with me escaping famine. As long as I fear God, there cannot be no famine in my life. See? So quite natural. I want to go to a church where it got some revelation going on. See, I don't want no religion. You know, I don't want no religion. See, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time. Not right now. I need some new revelation. No, I'm telling the truth. Yeah, I had a lady quit the church because I told her about I wasn't going to go. She said, I'm gone. I said, go ahead on there with your mama. Your mama dead, gone, and you got to go with your mama dead song. All right, take this down. The reason many things are not happening in our life is that we're trying to operate in the spirit without the fear of the Lord. The reason some things not happening in our life, we're trying to operate in the spirit without reverential, respect, honorable knowledge. Because if it's not there, things that happen in your life and you'll take credit for it. The fear of the Lord is a, watch, listen to me now, a functional anointing. for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and instruction. Anytime you read in the book of Proverbs, book of Ecclesiastes, Lamentation, you'll find out that the fear of the Lord is a functional anointing. And it's functioned with wisdom, it functioned with understanding, it functioned with knowledge, and it functioned with instruction. Other words, the wisdom of God will come to you at the level of your fear of him. The instruction, see, because he know he can trust you. If you don't fear him in that area, he can't trust you because you might turn. Y'all don't like to hear that, do you? Amen. But it's true. Any area, I'm going to say something, I'm going to cut you now, I'm going to cut myself too. Any area in the spirit that you're a dummy at, that means you don't have to fear the Lord. Because once the fear of the Lord come, and you respect him and honor him and know he's doing everything, he starts showing you his wisdom. He starts showing you his knowledge. He starts showing you his understanding. And then life becomes easier then. I mean, with all, I don't care how many battle it is, I don't care what attack you, life becomes easier because you have moved into a confidence and a trust. So like, I'm sold out. Okay? Now, why, let me give it again because I'm not, don't y'all let this go to waste. The fear of the Lord is a functional anointing for wisdom. In other words, it will make withdrawal. The fear of the Lord will draw wisdom out of God. Oh, my Jesus. The fear of the Lord will draw knowledge out of God. The fear of the Lord will draw understanding out of God. The fear of the Lord will draw instruction. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. My goodness. It's a gift. Yeah, the fear of the Lord is a gift from God. But along with the fear of the Lord, now we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about understanding. We're talking about instruction. We're talking about insight that we couldn't have no other way. In other words, the Bible said, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. We never expressed that the fear of the Lord is one of the drawing nigh factors that we need to know about. And it'll wipe a lot of things out of your life that you don't want. And it'll bring a lot of things in your life that you need, you want, and you desire. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in Isaiah, I want to show you, 11th chapter, I want to show you something. It's a prophetic word about Jesus. Jesus operated, that's why he always gives the Father credit in the fear of the Lord. And verse 1 says, thou shalt come from for the rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. That's Jesus. Then it says the second verse, now watch this. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, right? The spirit of wisdom and understanding, you see it? The spirit of counsel and might, you see it? The spirit of knowledge and... Now look what the third verse says. Go on, tell me. You teaching apostle. Go ahead and tell me. Look at what the third verse says. And shall make him of quick understanding in what? Notice it didn't say in wisdom. Didn't say in counsel. Didn't say in knowledge. But he said it will make him of quick understanding of the fear of the Lord because the fear, the quick understanding of the alive, quicken mean alive, the alive revelatory understanding of fear will release Kantola Mashaka. Will release wisdom about your life situation. You got to stop banging your head side the wall. You a child of God. You have insight behind the wall. The veil has to be removed on your life for you to show forth and magnify the Lord in your lifestyle and what you do in life. You have to live above natural standards. This is a spiritual life. You understand? This is a life in the spirit. It's not a life in the flesh. It's not a life that this world can give you. It's a life that you bring to this world.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, this little light of mine. Wait, how many baptisms I got you? I'm going to let it shine. See, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you can, your light shine. The point is, how did you do that? I love it. And shall make him, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Jesus, talking about Jesus. I want him to understand the fear of the Lord. You got to understand the fear of the Lord. You got to understand it's not a bad thing. The word fear is like the word gay. The word gay used to be jolly. Now he's talking about a punk. So nobody don't want to use it now. But it used to be a good word. Hey, child, I'm so gay. You better not say it now. I don't even use it. I'm happy. I'm joyous, you know. Say something. You ain't gonna say, man, I'm gay today. I said, what? Man, don't be talking to me. I don't want to hear you. Now, this principle here I'm going to read to you is long, so you're going to have to listen and hold on. The fear of the Lord reveals how to stay in God's presence with respect, honor, expectation, counsel, knowing at all time he's the Almighty God, and whatsoever he wants to happen is going to come out his way. And no person can stop him. You want me to read that to you again? Because you need to catch this, because you need to know this. At any given moment in your life when you're attacked, when this world tell you this is fun, you can go, everybody against you, you don't pay no attention. That's not your stop sign. That stop sign is for a regular person who don't know who God is, don't know who Jesus is. I have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm complete, living inside of me. They know everything. I said they know everything. They can do everything. Are you listening to me? So the fear of the Lord reveals how to stay in God's presence with respect, number one, honor. Now look, watch the next word. Expectation. Counsel. Knowing at all times he is the Almighty God. So what it does. Now I'm going to finish reading, but hear what it does. Thank you, Lord. Hear what the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord keep the other fear from overtaking it. See, a situation not going right, but because you operating in the real fear, in revelation fear, in holy fear, are you following me? It pushes the other fear out your life because you have confidence and trust in God, because you're walking in revelation, you're walking in wisdom, you're walking in knowledge, you're walking in instruction, you're walking in understanding. So you know, no, this can't come out this way. So even knowing that now, it will put a perk in the aspect that I have the ability to call things that be not as though they were. See, because I know if God is for me, it ain't gonna work out for somebody who against me. Listen. Not only must you have life lessons to deal with, you got lessons, you're in school all the time in life, but life lesson is not a problem if you've had some life deposit. The deposit enable you to make a withdrawal at this point from the supernatural world to deal with that thing supernaturally with no ungodly fear, but with the fear of the Lord. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Come on now, let me read the thing again. Now, the fear of the Lord reveal how to stay in God's presence. Say, stay in God's presence.
Stay in God's presence.
With respect.
With respect.
Honor.
Honor.
Expectation. counsel.
Knowing at all time.
He is the Almighty God.
And whatsoever he wants to happen,
it's going to come out his way.
I love it. I love it. It's going to come out his way, I'm telling you.
And no power can stop him. Remember that. Let me say it to you again. I've said it to you 3 times already tonight. For the fear of the Lord is a choice and a gift imparted to you by his Spirit. All right? Got that? And I may be going over some. No, I think I wrote these. You ready? Receive the gift of the fear of the Lord now. And then I wrote, now everything is about to change in your life. Say, Lord, I received the gift of the fear of the Lord. I make it a choice. I'm going to fear you with respect and honor. I trust you. I have confidence in you. I believe you're going to work everything out in my favor. You see it? Now, I say this to you different ways, but I have to bespeak this one again because I'm going to read it just like I have it wrote down. Godly fear is based on the conviction, there's a conviction here, that God is a holy God whose very nature lead him to judge sin. You've got to have that conviction. You've got to permit the Holy Spirit to give you that conviction. That type of conviction have kept me living right for ever since I've been saved. See, godly fear is based on the conviction. You see, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Convict, prison, slave, locked up. You got to come to that point. Yet you're free. I remember preaching in prison many years ago, and I preached from Acts 16 where Paul and Silas were locked up, you remember? And they're in a prison. And I preached to them guys. A lot of guys got saved that day. Lock up, but yet free. And I took them in that jail cell to see how Paul and them was locked up, but they still was free. They were singing. And that freedom from the inside brought them free on the outside. Freedom on the outside. Same thing, same thing. So godly fear is based on the conviction that God is a holy God. How many believe God is the holy God? Whose very nature lead him to judge sin. Now, he's given us escapes. Because once the Holy Spirit tells us we've done something wrong, throw both hands in the air and say, you're right, I'm sorry, I won't do it no more. And mean it, you see. All right. You're not going to believe this. To squeeze divine juice out of the Spirit, one must operate in the fear of the Lord, which would lead to demonstration of the Spirit. In other words, when I was meditating, the Holy Spirit seemed like there's a divine juice we're not getting. And by the fear of the Lord will show you something else. See, you talking about wisdom, man. You talking about wisdom from God, insight, huh? Knowledge of God, knowledge of, hey, let me show you how I would do this. Trust me. Because you need, oh yeah. Watch it. You never heard it before. I never heard it either. You need faith to operate in the fear of the Lord. You need faith to operate in the fear of the Lord. You need faith to understand the fear of the Lord. It's for you. It's for a reason. It's to keep that soul and body from going crazy. Because they will. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 2, 3, and 5, 3 through 5, you could read that. Now, make note of this fact. We're working from Acts 9:31, those five things, right? Huh? You still with me, Clarence? And I say those five things should be in your life. Make note of the fact we're talking about an inner fear that keep us relying on God at all times. I dare not go in this project without God. I dare not stop nothing in my family without a word from God. See, that interfere, see? You hear? What an awful position one is in who has no fear of the Lord. One who fears God can overpower one who do not fear God. And you know, you got the story you can read. I'm not going to the unjust judge. He didn't fear God, no man, but he was overpowered. I'm going to use the word awful, awful again. It is awful not to know the fear of the Lord. You will be standing on the losing end. You got to have that ingredient in your spirit. You got to have a revelation that our God is an awesome God. Not just singing about him. You're singing about, yeah, he is awesome, but you got to know personally he's awesome. He awesome to me. Psalm 115. The fear of the Lord produces in God's people a confidence, hope, and trust in him. So now, in teaching you these series, you ought to have ever-increasing hope, ever-increasing confidence. Some things you may be dealing with now, ever-increasing trust. Once you get close enough in an area, I'm telling you something that Rodney must be there. Once you get close enough in that area of trusting God or having a fear in the Lord, oh, I can't forget this thing, man. I got to get it back. You become fearful to think that's something God can't do. In other words, your spirit will sack Satan out, sack your soul out, sack your body out, and sack your feeling out. Sack, you know what sack out mean? Huh? Huh? Sassy. You know what sassy mean? Huh? Huh? I can't stand a little sassy napper head child clapping out. I wish that was my child. I wish they can turn the light out by 15 minutes. I'll bust his head. Brought you in here, I'll take you out. Disrespecting his mama. Mama tell him, put it down, he haul off, cry and fall on the floor. He just a baby, you know. Yeah, that's why he need to whoop his behind. He's just a baby. Whoop him. Get your tail up off the floor. Stop embarrassing me up in this store. You need some fear. You need some fear of me. Yes, Psalm 115. The fear of the Lord produces in God's people a confidence. You got it? What else? Hope and trust in him, right? All right, now watch what we read now. In Psalm 115, verse 11. Read it to me. Wow. Wow. Look at that thing. Ye that fear the Lord. See, now you know what the fear of the Lord is, right? Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You know what I want to speak now? What more can I say? Yeah, it is right there. I mean, it's clear in the word, isn't it? Let's go ahead and read something else here. Psalm 85. Back up to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Now, let me tell you how I see that. See, salvation to me is a completion of deliverance in every aspect of my life as I yield to the Spirit of God. So with this verse in mind, surely his salvation is near them that fear him. In other words, every round I go through something. And something dealing with my life or my family or this church or you as your pastor, I know salvation is standing right by. So I have enough fear in the Lord to not fear what's going on in your life. He got to deliver you. As long as we don't panic and stop hollering out, why me? Why not you? You have to have the concept and the revelation that every test I go through is going to turn out into a testimony. But it'd be a testimony on another level. I left the other level where I had it at. You think Peter and Paul was worried about going to jail and the angels showing up, busting the jail door open and dropping the chain and stuff? You know, that's why he said, why Peter and them preachers say, y'all shouldn't preach. He said, better to obey God than man. They preach it again. As soon as they turn them loose, they counted the honor and went out in the middle of the place, started preaching again. Why? They know God's going to get them out. Hey, whatever you're dealing with, God is going to get you out if you listen. You understand that? Do you understand that? When you're sick and can't get well, when you're broke and can't get no money, you have to know that. When your family, things going wrong in your family, you can't panic. I panicked before, but I shouldn't have. You can't panic. You got to know God's going to deal with it. Matter of fact, a lot of things happened in my life. I wish I had this lesson. I could have rested my nerve. Praying all night. You know, you got to pray all night. Sometimes I'm praying all night. Nights I should have been sleeping. Because a lot of time, prayer is insufficient trust in God. It's not negative. You got to pray. You better pray. But sometimes we're praying to make something happen that already have happened. Lord said, get up and receive. Believe and receive. God done it. Already have done it for you. Believe it. Shout, dance. You know, do it. Stop crying now. Let me see. Now this one, I want to reemphasize this one. The fear of the Lord produces trust and obedience as well as the avoidance of evil. That's heavy, heavy hang over our head. The reason that some Christians can walk in sin so easy is because they do not have a revelation of the fear of the Lord. No, he tried to tell you, he said, now you go under the sea, I'm going to be there. You know, but if you don't have that revelation, you think you're getting away with something. You see what I'm saying? I know I can't get away with nothing. I've seen, oh, man, God knows. And, you know, I want to respect God. You got to come to the point you want to live right. Are you following me? Turn to Job 28. Let's see this in our closing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, you know how powerful this stuff is. Y'all sitting up there, what? You know, if you're hearing me, you know what you ought to be doing? Get a benediction. Close it out. I got a few things I want to talk with. See, it's so powerful. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is a dummy. So depart from evil, understanding, if one does not depart from evil, mean what? They do not have no understanding. You ever had that piece of pie? You know you shouldn't have, you hadn't eaten it. Boy, I think it was tasting good while you were eating it. Then you said, man, I shouldn't have had that thing. Too late. Too late. That's enough. Y'all take this stuff and eat. Y'all take this stuff home with you. Y'all eat this. Y'all put it on your plate. In your prayer time, in your praise time. Go over those notes. Look up those scriptures. And develop. I want you to develop this. Develop the fear of the Lord. Develop it. Amen. It's a choice and a what? Choice and a gift. What a choice mean? You don't have to have it. What a gift mean? You don't have to have it. Just think about it. I try to give you a gift and you don't receive it. Huh? What am I going to do? Take it back. You don't appreciate it. Take it back. See? So now you got an advantage in life. Look at me. Look up here a minute. You got an advantage now. You've studied the fear of the Lord. I'm going to study some more. The fear of the Lord, the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, revelation knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, revelation wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of instruction. I bring instruction. Revelatory instruction. Instruction that cannot be seen. Instruction you can't read in a book. Instruction that is not in the library, is not in Barnes and Noble. Many great books there. But this is supernatural, divine, spirit-on-spirit instruction for you to have 100% victory at all times. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen to this statement again before you give your tithe and offering. Adam and Eve was designated, they were in training to run the whole world. But they messed up in the garden before the whole world was given to them. God would come every evening in the cool of the day and give them instruction how to run the world. Because if they had to pass the test in the garden, their place of authority was going to expand. Israel, listen before you give you up. Israel, the children of Israel. The promised land was, it belonged to them, but they could not take it no further than they were able to possess it. There are some things, if God give it to you too fast, it's going to turn out to be a beast. He told them, says, you can't take it all at once, because if you do, I got to get rid of some of the beasts first. The beast will eat you up. All right? Now, it was loaded what I said to you. It can change your financial status, your financial thinking. You got to change your thinking. As a man thinketh his heart, so is he. And you have to renew your mind about the blessings of God, because the average church don't know it at large. They talk about heaven. But God don't only have in the Father's house a many mansion. You know, that's when we get to heaven. But I heard in a little church, I heard the Lord says, in the Father's heart, there are many mansions. They for down here. Look how y'all took that. That's sad. In the Father's heart, there are many mansions. Now, listen before you give your offering. There is always more in your account than you possess. I wish I was in Columbus, Ohio somewhere here now. They'd be jump out of the seat there. David got them young people, they'd be flipping and flopping. See, when I say I'm going to make a point to say it in Columbus, Ohio. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Everything you need, everything you desire, everything you're dreaming of is already in your account. But it's not in your possessing ability. So as you develop, see, as you give, it is a stewardship that telling God you can possess more. See, the possessing, the account, the possessing, listen, and the stewardship. The stewardship determines how much you can get out your account. Good God Almighty, man. All your bills are already paid for in your account. I'd make you the lender. How you going to do that? And not the borrower. Listen at Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs. Why not? Wait a minute. It's a different account now. It's another account. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen. I'm just trying to tell you something. Listen to Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think, according to the understanding and wisdom and anointing you have in you. Look with me, quickly. Look with me. I'm possessed. Listen. Look in 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Quickly. I just want to show you. Y'all got to get y'all money. Them people talk, they old crazy talk. Right? I'm telling you, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. Listen to me. What did it start off with? Oh! God is able to do what? Keep reading it. Always have. All sufficiency. Ah, 8:16. First of all, Denise, you ever got to understand, God is not a man. If he said it, he'll do it. Got that?
Yes, sir.
Second thing is, God is not marked. And then you just read, God is able. Meditate those things. Meditate those things. All right, you need an envelope. Let's go. You need an envelope. Y'all can take so much and y'all can't take no more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll never be broke another day in my life.
I'm not broke.
I have a seed.
Wow.
All that go together, you know.
God can get anything
from anywhere,
at any time,
through anybody,
to me.
I'm set.
Hallelujah.
Where my envelope is? She's in my envelope.